Father, as always, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to this simple. Glory to God. Thank you for all the things that you have been showing us in the word of God. We give honor and praise to your name. Direct our thoughts, our words, even our understanding, our intellect, our comprehension today, and cause our hearts to be united with the word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Faith Lab, I want to do a Faith Lab mini series the next couple of days, or however the Lord, leads. I cannot get away from the subject of faith, no matter which direction I go. I got to keep coming back, because that's what this kingdom is all about. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 18 and 8, after he gave the exhortation, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, and even, said, other things to that effect. Finally, he said, well, when the Lord does show up, will he find faith upon the earth? There are many things that Jesus could have asked if he would find, but it was faith that he asked that if he would find. And we see how important faith is. Without faith, we are told in Hebrews 11 and 6 that it is impossible to please the Lord. And there was this man, Enoch, that pleased the Lord. He walked with God. This room is titled after his journey with the Lord. Walking with God. He did it by faith. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11. It was by faith that he walked with God. But, God, he had a testimony that it pleased the Lord, we're told, before his translation. And we know, the scripture tells us, that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So, faith is a very important subject. Many times, Jesus would rebuke the disciples for their lack of faith or their unbelief. And they would ask Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? In the book of Matthew chapter 17, he said, well, because of your unbelief. Sometimes you have to help your faith with prayer and fasting. Primarily, he said, it was because of your unbelief. That was the first thing. When they were afraid, about the storms that were blasting against the boat as if they were going to capsize them and that they will perish. And they ran to Jesus and woke him up and said, Father, carest now not that we perish? Well, his first response was, how come it is that you're so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? And so we see that in all these situations, Jesus always talking to people about faith. And then, of course, the incredible lesson he gave in Mark 11. Have faith in God. If you can speak to this man, he was looking at a mountain there. Say, look, if you can say it and don't doubt it, but believe that those things you say will come to pass. He said, you shall have whatever you say. I mean, powerful stuff on this subject of faith. And I myself, growing up, in the Lord and everything, faith was the one pillar in my life, that God put there and taught me many things. And I often like to share that subject. Now, so for those of you who might have heard or participated in this before, maybe the term Faith Lab may not be strange to you, but if you've never heard it, well, it's a process that we engage our faith to try to develop our faith. I will explain it this morning. Now, the first thing we want to talk about is what's a lab, short for laboratory. And what is a laboratory? You know, where I know that as a young man, when I was in high school, I was introduced to the concept of, you know, doing things in the lab. We call it lab for short. And we see that there are many things, you know, that a lab can be used for. Even to today, lab can be, you know, a place where you experiment. That was my first understanding of lab, you know, until later. You know, when I first exposed to it, it was maybe I was 13 or 14 or whatever, and I was exposed to this concept of going into the lab. It would be the physics lab or the chemistry lab. The chemistry lab was the one that intrigued me the most. You take a few things and substances, you throw them up in the test tubes, you mix them up, you know, out comes this other thing. You know, and, you know, so it was kind of intriguing. Well, a lab can be just that. A place where you experiment, but it can be more than that. In fact, one dictionary definition calls a lab a room or building equipped for scientific experiments, for research or for teaching, or for the manufacturing of drugs or chemicals. I remember several years ago in my consulting practice, I worked for, you know, a lab, a big lab. You know, they were the ones that did this Johnson & Johnson products and some other, all the other things that you guys can be familiar with. And, you know, I saw the lab in a different light. That, oh, it's not just a place where you experiment. It's actually could be a place where you produce things that come to market, you know. And, you know, but before you produce the thing, before you perfect the thing, I mean, you also have to practice it, you know. The people who did the research, you come out with the formulas and everything like that, and you got to practice, you know, the measure of this and a measure of that and a measure of this and a measure of that. You mix them up in appropriate portions and so forth. And out comes this other thing. Well, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they don't get it right, you know. And when they do get it right, or think, they, you know, try to do something with it to see if it produces the desired effects. I mean, these things go on for months, sometimes years, before they come out to market with it. And once they've perfected it, then they come to market with it. And then it, you know, appears in, you know, the various pharmacies and different places, you know, for the public consumption. Well, when we talk about faith lab, in the concept of what we just described about a laboratory, it means that, well, here's where you practice your faith. You put your faith to action. You know, it's not exactly, this is not the one that you are out in the world. It's a place where you are still confined, but you're trying it out and trying to see, you know, what results it might produce. You know, so when you put your faith to action, well, let me say it this way. You know, all things are upheld by the word of God. You cannot do it without the word of God. In order for faith to be valid, it must be based on the word of God. You cannot just have faith in itself. Gotta be based on the word of God. And most of the time, you know, faith, our faith must be mixed with action. It can also be, you know, action in what we speak, action in what we, how we move towards expectation of the thing that we are either speaking or believing or waiting or praying, waiting for or praying about. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So I will ask you one question today. And I want to see, you know, well, okay. Another thing is in a faith lab, you must participate. You cannot be an onlooker. you got to participate. And most of the time, practical things that we learn in life, you know, unless you actually get engaged, you can't learn them. You can't, you know, there are a few things you can learn by just watching, but most things that are practical that you have to do, you have to get out there and do it in order to actually, you know, perfect the thing. You know, you can't just sit back. I mean, if you want to learn how to, you know, I remember, you know, my boys were growing up showing them how to change the tires in a car and so forth. You can't just do it by, you know, just telling them how to do it, and then you assume that they know it. Or girls, you know, who want to learn how to cook, just hear their mom, just say it, you know, and then you just learn it. No, you got to get in there and practice, you know, until you actually do it. It's just, you know, it's theory, you know, and, you know, you got to do it when you do it. And sometimes you got to do it many times before you actually get it right. You know, so there is one question that I want to lead off with today. I mean, as you look at the title in today's room, we're calling it Faith Lab, Increasing in Faith and Power. And, you know, that would lead to perfected faith eventually. So I want to ask you, first of all, right off the bat, is it possible? I mean, the target of this, if you read that sentence again at the title of the room, you can see that the increasing the faith and all of that is intended to lead to perfected faith. That's what the little arrow means. And there's not enough time, enough space to write it out in words. So the little arrow means, you know, well, you know, it should lead to that. So, first question is it possible? I need some answers. I need you guys to engage. You can type in your own words, you know, the answer in the chat room. And how? You know? So, because this is a Faith Lab this morning, you got to engage. Is it possible, you know, to experience perfected faith or to walk in perfected faith? What does that look like to you? And there are many questions that can arise out of this title. One other question was, you know, something that the disciples asked of Jesus. Lord, increase our faith, they asked him. Well, and what was his response? That's another question. What was the response of Christ when the disciples asked him to increase their faith? Did he just like lay hands on them and breathe on them to increase their faith? You know, or, you know, what exactly was his response to that request? Lord, increase our faith. What was his response? So I've asked about two or three different questions here. And I want to see your responses in the chat room. You know, is it possible to walk in perfected faith? What does that mean even to you? I mean, are you saying that we can perfect our faith, the practice of faith? Or can we? Is it possible? Well, the other part of the title is increasing our faith and power to the point that it leads to perfected faith. Well, if that's even possible, we want to know. Or maybe it's an impossible mission that cannot be achieved. And if it is possible, what is the process of increasing your faith? What was Jesus' answer when they asked him to increase their faith? So those are some of the things I want to see people respond to before we even get started in this lesson. So, and let me switch over here and see what people are saying. You know, praise the Lord. All right. Hebrews 11:5. And my sister Julia posting some scriptures. Thank you so much for that. And let's see what people are saying about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. A lab is where you perform experiments and produce things. Faith must be based on the word of God. It will be valid. All right. So she's posted a number of things that we said. Okay. Let me see what others are saying. Thank you, Sister Julia. You're fully engaged this morning. When the people ask the Lord to increase their faith, his disciples, what was the answer? Someone said, yes. I believe the yes is they're answering the question, is it possible to walk in perfected faith? Is it even possible to increase your faith and your power with God? And someone said, I think we can strive towards perfected faith. Well, that's a good answer, you know. And another one says our faith is being perfected. There's a scripture here posted about from Christ challenging the disciples' faith. Someone says our faith is being refined and perfected and so on and so forth. Well, I don't have enough answers on my questions. Is it possible? One person said, well, yeah, it is possible when it's backed up by God. Yeah, perfected faith is the faith of God. Increasing our faith entails practice and so on and so forth. Okay, well, very good. Maybe at the end of this lesson, if I ask the question again, I might get more responses. You know, sometimes I take training, even on my job till this day, we have to continually do training in technology. You have to learn many things. You have to figure out what the cyber attacks are, what the new things and so on and so forth. We're constantly doing training. And, I noticed that in some of the training, classes, they would tell you ahead of, at the beginning of the training, what is expected. They might say something like, well, at the end of this training, you should be able to do such, 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 and such. You know, so at the end of this lesson, one, you should be able to define faith, either in the words of the Bible or in your own words, or faith as an acronym. I remember one time I gave faith as an acronym. You know, many acronyms that you might come up with for faith, if you take each of those five letters as the leading letter of some word, that's an acronym. You know, one of the acronyms I gave before was, you know, fully and intentionally trusting him. I might ask you that at the end too. So you might be able to define faith. Should be able to. You should understand what the lab is. What we do in the lab. I've got one or two good responses for that already today. And then this question of increasing our faith, increasing our power with the Lord. Is it possible? We should be able to answer that. I mean, can we arrive at a posture of walking in perfected faith? Well, we should be able to figure that out at the end of this series. I put it as part one today because it may be longer than one day. You know, so right away, in order to not force myself to go too far into the lesson in one day, made it part one. All right. We've done a lot of preamble. Let's get right to it. There's one key thing that I've already said, and I'm going to give you scriptures now. Everything we do in the Faith Lab is has to be based on scriptures. Why? Because of this one verse that I'm going to tell you now. In the book of Lamentation 3:37, and I've quoted this scripture many, many times. And this is the principle that is behind declarations of faith and different things like that. You know, if you're declaring, you're believing God, you're declaring something and so forth. Well, you know, it's got to be based on the word of God because of this scripture. And in this scripture, if you look at it carefully, say, who is he that saith? And it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it. You know, so we see that, look, we can't just come out and be declaring stuff that the Lord did not command. Maybe it will happen, maybe it will not happen. Well, this scripture says it's most likely not. It will most likely not happen because the Lord has not commanded it. However, well, let's flip that around. And if we flip it around, if the Lord has commanded it, and you know it, then if you begin to declare it, chances are that you might get the desired results. We'll find out in Faith Lab how that happens. Now, remember I said that if the Lord has commanded it and you know it. Well, the you know it part is also important. In this practice or lessons of Faith Lab, we're going to be experimenting, just like in a lab, and looking for results. Put things together and see what comes out of it. So we're going to find scriptures and see what come out of it. Now, whenever I'm on this subject, I like to go back to Hebrews 11 because that's the one chapter that deals, spend the whole chapter dealing on faith. Faith is defined at the beginning of the chapter. Lessons of faith are written from the lives of many people that walked by faith and some of the, you know, exploits that they did and so on and so forth. I love this one verse in Hebrews 11 and 13. I've spoken on it multiple times, you know, and that's where I count with my, what I call faith spec, for those of you who have heard about it, in that one verse of Hebrews 11, 13, there are four elements that I reveal there. You know, it's talking about, you know, people that received promises or, you know, heard the Lord speak some promises to them and how they went about trying to obtain those promises. And we can see something, a process, you know, in that one verse. Well, let's read it together and see if you guys can remember. Those of you who have heard this lesson a few times, you might remember how it works. And this is the way it is described in Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. So there was some promise made. But having seen them afar off, so I coined a few letters out of this phrase. The Lord showed me this many, many years ago, and I've been using it since then. You know, they saw the promise afar off. Say, having seen, so I took the S out of that, and were persuaded, I took the P out of that, and embraced them, I'm talking about the promises, I took the E out of that, and then confessed. So I took the C out of that and said, S-P-E-C, some basic concepts about how faith really works. First, it's got to be based on some promise. So the first exercise when you are in a faith lab, you identify, I mean, you zero in on the thing that you're trying to believe God for, right? Okay, we know that. You know, and that's important too. You can't be all over the place. You got to be specific. You know, it's always important for us to be specific when we pray. You know, it's better than just being generic. A lot of people pray generic prayers. And so if you're too generic, you may or may not know whether your prayer is answered because you might get a generic answer as well. You know, but if you're specific, zero in on what you are believing God for. What does that mean? Well, you know that Jesus, on teaching about faith, was telling the people around, his disciples and people around that, look, those of you that have children, your fathers and so forth, you know, your child will not come and ask for bread and then you give him a stone. I mean, so which of you being a father would his child ask him, you know, for bread and then you give him a stone? He said, look, that never happens. You know, you don't do that. You just don't do that. You know, so I was talking about this one in Matthew chapter 7. He talked about this, you know, in other parts of the gospel. Luke, it's also recorded. But, you know, he said, look, would you give your son a stone if he asked you for bread? In Matthew 7, you know, verse 9. Or if he asked you for a fish, would you give him a snake? If he asked you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And Jesus asked these questions. You can read Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through about 11. Okay, so because Jesus asked us these questions, let's take a look. Let's break it down. What's Jesus saying here? Even though what Jesus is trying to teach here is that, look, when you're asking God, he will give you the good things. He won't give you the evil things. You can't be asking for, in the book of Luke, the way he brought it out, you can't be asking for the Holy Spirit and get the devil, so to speak. You know, so you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll give it to you. Ask things, he'll give them to you. So, but I want to bring out another aspect. The aspect that I want to bring out here is that you got to be specific. See, this is the process of how you work in the lab. There is a desired result that you're looking for. You're not just doing something and say, well, let's see what happens. No. You know, that you postulate a theory or something that you're trying to prove and it's specific. This is what you're looking for. And you got to walk towards that result. It's not, well, let's just do whatever we're doing and see whatever comes up. Nobody does that. There's a specific thing that you're going after and see if you can arrive there, you know, and prove that your method works. If it doesn't, your method didn't get you there, you try again. You improve some things, but there's something that you are trying to get. That's what you do in the lab. So same thing. So let's look at it again. If this son had come to his father and asked the father to give him something, the father would have been in his right to have given him a stone because he asked for something. And it would have been perfectly okay that the man picked up something on the ground and gave it to him. So you asked for something, here's a stone. So there is a hidden lesson in this thing, the lesson of faith that Jesus is teaching here, or trusting God to do the right thing when you ask him. There's a hidden lesson here that you also have to be specific. If you need bread, ask for bread. Don't just ask for something. You ask for something, you might get something, and it might be a stone, and it will be something. So, ask for bread when you need bread. Ask for egg when you need egg. Ask for fish when you need fish. Don't just ask for something. Okay, so that's number one. So in the lab, we must identify, you know, first of all, you identify what it is that you are trying to arrive at. What it is that you're trying to prove, you know, what is it? What's the end game here? Okay, so that's number one. That's even before, you know, the specs. You got to know what it is. You know, these people were trying to get somewhere. God gave them some promises and that was it. And they were believing God for it. So you must know what it is you're trying to get. Then we go to the specs, which is, you know, the S is for, you know, finding something. Search the scripture. See the promise. So here's the point where I say, it's not a promise. You've heard me say this. And so the people who are new, you may enjoy this. It's not a promise unless you know. I mean, it's not a promise to you. It might be a promise to somebody else. But it's not a promise to you. Unless you know what was promised. You know, you can't call it a promise if you didn't know they said it. You know, so it's not a promise unless you know what was said or promised. So that's very, very important. That's why we must search the scriptures. You know, so search the scriptures to find a promise or several promises that have to do with what you're asking God for. Now, if there is nothing in the scriptures about it, nothing specific, you may be able to default into some, you know, catch-all promises. There's what is called catch-all promises. Now, most of these promises, especially the catch-all promises, they always have some condition behind them. You know, but if you find a specific promise, then latch on to it. So that's a yes. The P is you got to be persuaded about it. The E is you got to embrace it. And the C is got to confess it. And you all know these things. Many of you have been here. So when you are in the faith lab, you got to practice those steps. You identify the need as number one. That's even number zero before you even get to the specs, before we even start to do anything. And it, you know, if you can't find, you know, don't even, here's the way I teach this. I say, don't even start praying if you haven't first found a promise. You might be wasting your time. According to Lamentation 3:37, if God didn't say it and you're trying to declare it or believe it, well, we don't know that you're going to get it. You know, it's not going to happen because God didn't say it. Now, if God did say it, the shortest path between where you are and where you are believing God for, if you find that God actually said it, you know, is through the promise. It's repeating what God already said. It's a whole lot easier. And you align yourself with what God already said in, to get that thing happen than if you, you weren't just making it up. So these are very simple elements of faith. Find the scripture. So we're going to do an exercise here this morning based on just that. Based on just yes. I want you to, number one, zero in on something that you are believing God for. Well, let me tell you that there are many such some things that we could be believing God for. It might be health. It might be healing. It might be rest. It might be peace. It might be protection. It might be deliverance. You know, I mean, it's just so many things that, you know, we might be believing God for. You could be believing God for guidance. You could be believing God for your children. You could be believing God for, you know, supply some need that you have, you know, and so on and so forth. You could be believing God for get a job. You might be looking to God because you want some promotion. You know, you can go on and on and on. Whatever it is, you know, but you got to be specific. You don't just say, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me is a generic prayer. Scripture says that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you know, Lord, bless me is too generic. What exactly do you want? You know, so what do you want him to do for you? You know, so, you know, I remember many years when I sat under the ministry of One Neil Frisbee, when people come up for prayers, he would say, what would you like the Lord to do for you? And I took note of that. He was always asking that. What would you like the Lord to do for you? I mean, in other words, be specific. What is it you want? You know, what would you like the Lord to do for you? You know, and, you know, I started using that in my prayers too. When I prayed for people, it's like, look, what can I believe the Lord with you for? You know, more is like, look, what can the Lord do for you? Or what can I do for you? How can I help you? I mean, those are questions that people ask even in the natural world. You know, you go to a store, you're looking around, say, how can I help you? What can I help you find? You know, some of the people that walk in the store, you know, how can I help you? What can I help you find? I mean, you know, zero and say, well, You don't go up to the person that, you know, and say, well, I'm looking for something in the store. There are many somethings every aisle, you know, but what can I help you find? Then you tell the person, I'm looking for something, and say, oh, it's in aisle number this, aisle number that, you know, and so on. They might point you to it. But if you said to them, well, I'm looking for something, and I say, well, what something? Because there's a lot of, whole lot of somethings, you know. So being specific is very key. So let's take a minute or two. We're now in the Faith Lab proper. I've explained to you now what we're going to do. Let's take a minute or two. Identify the one thing. I mean, there could be many things, but let's just start with one. Let's take baby steps. You know, there's a lot of things that we can ask for. Jesus said, keep asking until your joy is full. Yeah, well, okay. But let's start somewhere. Take one thing today. What is it that you want? Oh, well, maybe you've got a child that has gone wayward. Well, maybe that's the thing that's heavy in your heart right now. I mean, you've been trying. We talked about this last week, you know, raising your children and all that. You know, you've been doing the best you can, but, you know, they're going the other way. Maybe that's the thing that's uppermost in your heart. Well, okay. Zero in on that thing. Well, let's see if we can find a promise for that. Maybe you need healing. Well, zero in on the healing you need. Maybe we, you know, whatever it is. Let's see if we can find a promise for it. If you can't find a promise, we'll walk together. It's very important. Today's lesson is about knowing what you want or identifying what you want, being specific, and then searching the scriptures to find so that, you know, you can see why we said this will be several parts. We'll come to the other parts later. But this is key. The question I asked you earlier when I said that Jesus was asked by his disciples and said, Lord, increase our faith. You know, and I asked you, well, you know, what was Jesus' response? Well, let's read a story because it falls right with what we're trying to do here in the Faith Lab. Let's read a story in Luke chapter 17. Let's read a couple of verses there, verses 5 and 6. See what Jesus said when they asked him this question. You know, this is the way Luke reported it. You know, somebody else reported it different, slightly different way, but let's look at this. I like this one. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. You know, here's a question. The apostles came to the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. So you can see that increasing in faith is part of the title of today's lesson. I mean, so everybody wants, you know, their faith to grow, right? Even the disciples did. And they came and asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Well, let's see the response, though, that Jesus gave. I mean, this response is kind of different than what you might expect. He said, look, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is very small, right? You can say to this sycamine tree, he was looking at some tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted to the sea, and he should obey you. You know, so, wow. What kind of response is that? You know, to a question that says, Lord, increase our faith. Well, Jesus is saying that the way to increase your faith is to use what you already have. It may be small. Use it. You'll see great results. The more you use it, the more it'll grow. Now, in this approach of Faith Lab, let's think of faith as the currency of the realm in which we operate. You're trying to operate in some realm that gets results from God, you know. So faith is the currency in that realm, right? But unlike money or whatever else the currency that we have here on earth, if you the more you spend, if you have a stash of money and nothing else is coming in, and you, the more you spend out of that, the less you have. You just keep taking, and you're not replenishing anything. Someday you're going to run out. Most other things are like that. You know, so since we're talking about currency, I picked up money. But faith being the currency in this heavenly realm that we are dealing with here. To the contrary, the more you use it, the more you have. You know, so the way to actually increase your faith is use the little that you already have. So Jesus is saying, look, no matter how little you have, you will get great results. Use what you already got. And when you get results, you'll be encouraged to do even more. I mean, people are always encouraged when they see results. You try something and it works, you're encouraged to try it again. You know, now real faith though, if they try something, it doesn't work, they don't give up. Real faith doesn't give up, even when you try something and it doesn't work. But most people, you know, whether they are practiced or experienced or perfected in this walk of faith, most people, when they get results, they're encouraged to try it again. No matter what it is that they were doing. Now, some people, though, will give up because they think they didn't work out. They call it failure in their mind. I say, well, it's not failure unless you quit. That's my posture. I try something, it doesn't work. I don't see it as failed. I just see that I've learned something. That just doesn't work. Try something else. That doesn't mean I failed. Doesn't mean you failed. Just means, well, that didn't work. You've learned that. You know, so you put that in your knowledge bank. That doesn't work. Doing it that way doesn't work. So you've actually learned something. You haven't failed anything. You fail when you quit. Then you failed. You know, so when you give up, then you're done. Then you failed. But as long as you didn't give up, you try it again. Or try something different. You know, and so on. So Jesus is telling them that, look, the way to increase your faith is, look, use what you have already before you start to ask for more. You know, a grain of mustard seed can actually do a whole lot. Jesus told them that. You know, so use what you already have. Now, one method though of using what we have is to do it right, so that we get the right results, and it'll encourage us to do it again. If it's working, if something is working, why change it? Even people tell you that in the world. Something is working, why change it? Even in technology. If it's not broken, leave it alone. We say that. You know, if it's working, well, you know, it's working. You know, so why change it? If you try something, and I've proven this in this journey of faith, time and time again, and I know it works. And that's why I'm trying to pass it on and teach it to people. It works. When you know what God has promised and you latch onto it, it works. Now, when you find a promise that God gave concerning the matter at hand, you need to check it out carefully and see if there is any condition attached to that promise. Some people don't like to, you know, do the legwork to figure these things out, you know, or they just assume that, well, a promise is a promise is a promise. Well, yeah. Number one, a promise is not a promise if you don't know that it was promised. Number two, a promise is not a promise is not a promise, not a promise. You know, it may be a promise that's based on a condition. The Lord might say, if you do this, then I will do that. So the then part is a promise. But if you skip the if part, well, then, you know, you've missed, you know, something important on how to bring that promise to pass. And there are a lot of promises in the scriptures that are like that. In fact, majority of the promises in the Bible are like that. They always have some underlining if behind it. You know, look at this incredible promise that Jesus gave in, you know, John chapter 15, verse 7. I mean, it's like, you know, it's almost, if you read the latter part of it, It's almost like what we call carte blanche. You know, you get everything, you get anything you want. But, you know, there's a big if in front of it. He said, if you just read the last part of it, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Well, that's a promise. But there is a big if in front of it. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So we already see the big conditions. You know, then you can ask whatever you will. And so there's a lot of promises like that. Big promises like Exodus 15 and 27, I mean 26, that talk about I am the Lord that healeth you and so on. There's a big if in front of that. If, that's how it starts out. You know, so it is important for us when we are trying to latch on to the promise, which we must, you must also find out whether there are conditions associated. Exodus 15, 26 has four things that he says there as preconditions. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's number one. If you will do that which is right in his sight, that's number two. If you will give ear to his commandments, that's number three. And if you will keep all his statutes, that's number four. If you do all of that, then I will put none of these sicknesses upon you, and so on. So there's a promise, but there's a lot of these ifs. So when we look for the promise, let's see if there are conditions. All right. So now we know what we are going to do in this faith lab. So now faith lab now means you get involved. Let's do this. Every one of us, there's not a single person in this room that does not have a request. We are needy people. You know, I call us needy people. We always need this, need that, need this, need that. And that's why sometimes we got to be careful of not being too, you know, need conscious. But that's just the way we are. We need the Lord. We can't do anything without him. And he knows that, you know. So, what is it that you need the Lord to do for you this morning? Identify that. Write it down privately for yourself. Don't need to put it in the chat room, but put it down somewhere for yourself. Okay. Now, let's try to find scriptures together. If you cannot find a scripture for what you are looking for, don't be ashamed. Ask. You know, I remember when I was in the lab, we were encouraged to raise our hand if you ran into trouble. You're trying to do, and I was a young man in the lab, you know, and ask a question, raise your hand, and, you know, instructor will come around, you know, and help you with something. Yeah. So you are in the lab now. You are in the faith lab now. You can't find a scripture. Well, raise your hand. Let's find the scripture together. It's always a scripture. Now, it's better when you find specific promises for the specific situation. You got to go for that first before you look for the generic, you know, catch-all. There's all kinds of catch-all promises. If any two of you shall agree on anything, those are catch-all promises. But, you know, look, there are specific promises for everything. Now, if you need it, there is a promise for it in the Bible. If you think you need it, and there is no promise for it in the Bible, then you don't need it. And you don't want it. Let me say that to you again. If you need it, God has already promised it. That's right. Because God was way ahead of all of us. He already knew what we would need. He already made provision. He already has an answer for everything. If you have a question that God doesn't have an answer for, you don't need an answer to that question. Just put it to you that way. You know, so it doesn't matter what question in life it is. If there is no answer for it in the scriptures, that's not something you need to know. Leave it alone. But if you need it, God has promised something about it. You must find what he said about it. If you can't find it, and nobody else can help you find it, it's not anywhere to be found in the scriptures, then you don't need it. It's that simple. Drop it. You know, don't even mess with it. Don't waste your time praying about it. You don't need it if God didn't say anything about it. But there's hardly anything that falls into that category. So let me give you some scriptures about some things just to help you. But generally speaking, you must do your own research. We have to practice this. Practice how to find scriptures on your own. Pastor is not always going to be there. Somebody else is not always going to be there. You and the Holy Spirit together, you figure it out. Holy Spirit will show you, you know, and you will figure it out together. But you have to do the homework. You know? So homework part is for you to search the scriptures. Jesus told the people, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He was always challenging the people to go search the scriptures. You know, and, you know, even the scribes and different people in those days, they used to search the scriptures. You know, when Herod would ask them a question like, hey, where is Christ going to be born? Well, they would go and search the scriptures and come up with Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that says he will be born in Bethlehem. I mean, you got to search the scriptures. So Jesus also challenging the people, he said, you know, search the scriptures. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures. That's what Jesus said. So always search the scriptures. Okay. So, what are the things that we're believing God for today? Here are some promises. Just in case you are having difficulty finding your specific promise. Now, I've done some lessons about this before. And what this ministry is that I'm doing now, I'm going to post some writings on our back channel or in our WhatsApp. Many promises I've done this again before. I'll do it again. Many promises related to many specific things, and even generic promises. So you have these tools. I mean, your bag, your arsenal. You have them there. You know, you can pull them out at any time. I'm going to give you tons of promises for a lot of things. But first, I'm not going to spoon feed you initially. I want you to engage in the practice of looking for your own. We have many tools today that can help us look. We have this great thing called the internet. We have this great tool called Google and other search tools. I mean, you know, they have developed this artificial intelligence so much these days that they can almost help you guess what you are thinking. Take advantage of it. It's not always bad. People think that all these things are always bad. No, you use it for good. You can use it for good if you want. I use technology for good. When you're thinking of something, you may not even know the scripture. Google can help you find it. Just type the words as you remember. You may not even remember it exactly. Just type the words. You say, hey, promises for healing in the Bible. Yeah, Google, boom, you know, it'll bring out a ton of promises. Promises for this and this and this. I mean, so use it to your advantage, but do the legwork. You got to find at least one promise. Remember, every word of God is pure. You don't need 20 promises. You only need one, because every word of God is pure. So once you find one promise that relates to your situation, that's all you need. Well, you can find more, you know, that's fine. But you'll find one, that's good. And if you don't find any, then that's a problem. Okay. So I'm going to give you 1 minute, if you haven't already done so, to write down what your specific prayer point is. Write down for yourself. We don't need to write it to us. Then, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to search the scriptures, because this is what we must always do. And search the scriptures doesn't mean, you know, there are some people that know what they think the Bible says, but they can't even quote it right. That's why I love to give memory verses. A memory verse is to help you not only to know, to think
about what the scripture might have said, but for you to know exactly what it said and to know where it says it. So a memory verse consists of two parts. You know, the text, what it actually says, and the reference of where it's found. You know, so these are things that we must have when we're doing, you know, Faith Lab. You must know how to find the scripture, and where you find it, know where it is. And memorize it for your situation. Don't let it go. Don't let it get away from you. Don't say, you know, because the devil might come to you and say, has God said? And if you can't quote exactly what God has said, well, you stumble around and so forth. And the devil pull the wool over your eyes. So you need to know exactly what God said. Praise the Lord. You know, so I know where it is found. You know, some people say, well, you know, I can't memorize scripture. Why not? Why not? If not, you know, you should know where it is. That's part of being a Bible scholar. Study to show yourself approved. You know, Paul to Timothy. So, all right. Hopefully everybody has written down their need and they found scriptures. The next thing then is for us to take that and begin to use it. That's all we're going to do today. Take that and begin to use it. How do you do that? Well, you say, well, Lord, you said. You know, I've heard people pray that prayer. They will say, Lord, you said. And it's a good thing. Look, you've got to remind the Lord. Not that he forgot, but the Lord asked us to do that. You know, now, it's a very, very important part of this Faith Lab process for you to know how to remind the Lord, you know, of whatever it is that, you know, you are believing him for that he has promised. There's a good scripture for that in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26. It's a good scripture for that. It's a good one for you to memorize as well. Isaiah 43, 26. What does it say? Put me in remembrance. Well, another way of saying that is remind me. Remind me. Tell me again. You know, he said, look, let us plead together. Declare it. You know, tell me what I already told you. Remind me again so that you might be justified. You have a case? You know, you want to plead a case? Well, tell me what I told you. Remind me of it. This is what God is saying here. He's giving us. So you can say, Lord, you said. Tell him what he said. But make sure you tell him what he did say, not what you think he said. Because you can't fool the Lord. You know, tell him what he said. What did he say? You know, the Lord said, tell me. It's not that he forgot, but he wants to know that you know. You know, so because it's not a promise to you if you don't know. So, tell me what I said. I said, well, you said such and such. Okay. All right. Now we are talking. You know, so, and stay with the program. You know, stay the course. Don't say with your mouth one thing and then with your body and your action or your life, you're doing something else. That's not going to work. You know, so you do what you are believing God for and what you are saying. Don't be saying one thing in prayer and doing the opposite. That's not going to work. And you got to act out your faith. That's where all the rest of the steps of the SPEC come into play. But today it's just searching scriptures. That's it. Find the promise. That's it. So, you know, anybody need help finding any specific promise for anything? Well, let's find it together. Praise the Lord. So, there are many students of the Bible here. There's several of us right here in the room now. And many people are on stage. Many people are in the audience. Let's do this together. Now, this may seem like child's play to you, but I tell you, you know, this thing absolutely works. Now, The things of God are not haphazard, right? The things of God are more like a science. You know, God is the creator of science. Sciences are exact. They're not just, you know, here or there. It's exact stuff. You put two measures of hydrogen together and one measure of oxygen, you come out with one measure of water. It's called H2O. You do these things in the lab. It's exact science. It's not just, you know, maybe it will be, maybe it won't. No, it's exact. If you do this, the Lord will do that. It's an exact science. You know, so we need to assure ourselves of that. If I do this, the Lord will do that. Okay. And you do your part. He will do his part. It's an exact science, ladies and gentlemen. It's not guesswork. And with God, God is not the type of person like us where, you know, one day, when we are feeling good, we say yes. And the other day, when we are not feeling so good, we say no. God is not like that. I call it yo-yo. James chapter 1 verse 17 will tell you, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. You know, it also actually means also that God doesn't have mood swings, as the way I call it. Doesn't have mood swings. You know that, oh, today is feeling good, so we'll answer your prayer in the affirmative. Tomorrow is feeling depressed or not so good, so we'll answer your prayer in the negative. There's no such thing. He doesn't have yo-yo, that's variableness. He doesn't have shadow of turning, that's mood swings. I didn't do any of that stuff. You know, so it's an exact science with him. You know, so assure yourselves with that. And then begin to use it in your prayer. So we're going to go into prayers. This is the only part that we're doing today. We're going to go into prayers with the promises that you have found. Now, if you need help finding something, you can paste it in the chat room. We'll give you some scriptures for it. Or you can even come up, open your mic and ask, and we'll find the scriptures together. I'm never afraid of searching the scriptures. In fact, I love it. I enjoy doing it. I always love it. Even if somebody asks me a question I don't know, I love to go search the scriptures. See if I can find it. It's always a challenge to me. See if you can find what God said about this thing. I always love those challenges. You know, so I've been doing it for a long time. Maybe that's why it's easier for me. But I want people to practice that. Practice going to the scriptures. You know, find things. Find what God is saying or has already said. The scripture is alive. It's a living book. You know, it works. And what he said then, if it's written down in the Bible, still works now. So, we're going to pray. We're going to use the scriptures. Let me see if anybody is asking anything. I don't see anybody asking any questions. Okay, so that's good. So, let's do this together. We're going to pray. First, I'll pray over the room. And then I'm going to release you to pray. The kind of prayer you're going to do, though, this time around, it's more or less a declaration. According to Isaiah 43, verse 26. Say, declare it. Declare thou that you may be justified. Tell me what I told you. Remind me. And then declare it. So that's the part we're going to do today. It's not so much, oh Lord, if it be thy will, do this. Forget that. Find out whether it is his will. If it's not his will, then drop it. You know, people pray these prayers that you're like, why are you wasting your time? You know, see if it is God's will already. If it is his will, he's spoken in his word. And then latch onto you. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. And then you got to fight off the distractions. Right? We're going to cover that in a subsequent lesson, maybe tomorrow. We got to fight off the distractions. When Abraham prepared the sacrifice, the birds tried to swoop in there and land on his sacrifice. Well, he had to fight them off. Had to fight off the distractions. You know, unbelief, those are the distractions. The voice of reason, those are distractions. These are powerful strongholds of distractions. The voice of reason especially. Try to reason away, you know, the impracticability of that thing that you're believing God for. Try to reason it away. Well, I'm now old. I'm past age. I can't bear you children again. So go into my maid. That's the voice of reasoning that was in the head of Sarai. You know, you can't do it. I can't do it. I'm old. Look at me. You know, so it's not going to work. You know, let's do it this way. You know, that's the voice of reasoning. Very, very powerful stronghold. So there are many like that. I may cover some of those tomorrow, you know. So let's zero in. All right. I'll pray over the room now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these lessons, practical lessons that we are trying to engage in of how to increase our faith through using what we already have and how to use what we have based on what you already said. Now teach us these things, Lord, and help us to grow thereby. As we see results, encourage us to do the same thing again and again and again. Lord, I give you all the praise and glory. Now, I come against the distractions in our minds. Now, unbelief is a big distraction. You know, unbelief is a way that the devil tries to put, you know, doubt in God's integrity. God's already said this thing will be if this is so. And then unbelief comes in and say, come on now. You know, you really think that will happen? I mean, don't you see that that your friend that had that situation, believing God to heal them in that cancer, they died? You know, and why you think you're any better than them? Did they survive that? They did not survive. They died. That person got involved in an accident. Why do you think that you will be free? You will get involved in an accident. I mean, unbelief, you bring all these things into our heads. You know, you got to deal with those things and put those things away. Stay with the word of God. Now, Lord, teach us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.